Hello, hello, everyone. We are live. Today is October 28th, 2025. We are back from Arkansas. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. Esther is right there sleeping. She was on my chair and we moved her. So now I've moved her and migrated her to the back chair instead so we could do the broadcast. So welcome, everybody. I see lots of people jumping in. I see Lufkin, Texas. Welcome, welcome. Golden Valley, Arizona, Northwest Pennsylvania, Ooltewah, Tennessee. These are some real interesting names today of cities. South Louisiana, Evans, Colorado as well. I see East Tennessee, Honeyville, Florida, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Hello to our wonderful friends in Africa who are tuning in and our international audience coming in as well. I see Ontario, Canada as well coming in. Welcome, welcome. Northwest Arkansas. We just got back from Arkansas near Cabot, Arkansas, preaching down there. Ulster County, New York. Hello to our neighbors in Ulster County. So happy to have you. Melbourne, Florida. I see Missouri as well. Kentucky, multiple Texases and California. Welcome, welcome to our friends out there. Reading, Pennsylvania as well. Welcome, welcome. I see more Canadas coming in. I also see Idaho. Let's see. Tazewell, Tennessee. Blessings to you. Hello. Anid, Oklahoma as well. And Ohio. God bless you. Welcome tonight. Deanville, Texas as well. I see that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's see who else is coming in here. Tampa Bay, Florida and Massachusetts. Up iChurch Cafe from Texas. Hello, Pastor Rick. Pastor Rick is on. In the chat as well. Let's see. Las Vegas. Welcome, welcome. Georgia. Many Georgias coming in. Vermont. Bristol, Tennessee. Illinois as well. Welcome to our wonderful friends in Illinois. Buffalo, New York. Hello to our neighbors in Buffalo. New Zealand. I just saw New Zealand come in. Welcome, welcome. We're so happy to have our international audience. Long Island. Hello. We love our Long Islanders. Welcome, welcome. Hello to our moderators as well. Oh, Cape Town, South Africa. Welcome to our friends in South Africa watching today. Hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up in prayer, and boy, do we have some prophetic revelation to talk about tonight. Some of this is going to blow your mind of what is basically happening right now and how things that seemingly don't look like they go together in the nation actually go together right now. And the window and the time we are in, there is some incredible biblical parallels and timelines that are occurring. The enemy has attempted to hide things behind names as well. And we're going to uncover it all tonight. This is incredible prophetic revelation that we are going to be talking about. So we're going to open up in prayer. And then I'm going to tell you what happened at Walmart in Arkansas. I have to tell the story of what happened. So let's give this over to the Lord, show him the reverence he deserves, and we'll get started tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you this day. We praise you that you are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your holy, precious name. We humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father God. Forgive us of every way we have sinned and fallen short, Father. If we hold any offense, even against anyone, we release it now in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. Lord, we praise you that your word says that your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your son Jesus Christ to the earth. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb and the sacrifice for our sins. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. He was the Passover lamb. He willingly purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. That blood sprinkled and dripped onto the mercy seat at Calvary. It purchased us. It redeemed us. It paid the price in full for us. And when Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," we were not only paid for and redeemed, but he made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. And when he died, he rose again in 3 days after descending into the underworld, taking taking the keys from death, defeating hell, death, and the grave, miraculously raising again on the third day, ascending to heaven to be with the Father, where he rules and reigns at the right hand of the Father forevermore. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in. The presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Lord, let your power, your presence, your truth mightily go forth, Father God. Let your glory and your power saturate the atmosphere, Father God. Lord, let the Holy Spirit go forth and be the counselor, Father God, and minister to those who are watching tonight, Lord. Lead and guide us, Father, in your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Fill us, Father God. Fill us with those things, your wisdom, your counsel, your might, your power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Go before us. Be our front and rear guard, Father God. Order our steps tonight, Father. Order my words, Father, as we mightily go forth in you. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me and our team, Father, the humble privilege of being vessels of your power. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to surround and fill this place, the skies, the land, above and below, to guard against every dimensional access point. We take authority over and rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, curse, spell, witchcraft, incantation, any stealing, killing, destroying, Father God, interference, discord. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ right now. We command it be dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted, so they cannot carry out their plans. And it casts back to the areas you have designated for such, Father, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return, nor have anything sent in its place. Father, according to Ephesians chapter 6, we ask you put your whole and complete armor on us this day, Father God, that the shield of faith would go up in front of us in the name of Jesus Christ to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, that any arrows the enemy and his agents are attempting to fire at us, we command be reversed upon the senders now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. We are receptacles for your glory, for your power to fill, to do exploits in this earth, to advance the kingdom of God. Father God, Lord, we owe you every breath. We are the dust of the earth without your breath of life in us. You are Yahweh. You are the breath. The word says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, Father God. We praise you. We thank you. We give you all the glory in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. We pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I could feel it. It's thick in here. I could feel the presence of the Lord. So praise the Lord. Let the Lord have his way. And let me, I'm going to tell you the story in a moment. But if you could share this broadcast right now, we'd very much appreciate it. It does help us on the platform. So if you could share it right now, we would be very grateful for that. Like and subscribe and hit the notification bell as well if you want to be notified when we are putting out content. So, before we get into this, now this is going to get real interesting real fast, what we're about to get into here, but something happened in Arkansas, and it's a lesson, this is going to be a lesson to everybody, that when the Lord delays you, he is literally trying to slow you down because events are about to set up ahead of you that he actually needs you to be there for and ready for to do his work. So many times we get frustrated with delays, but delays are really setups to have us in the right place at the right time to advance the kingdom of God and to do his work on this earth. So let me explain to you what happened in Arkansas. So we get to Little Rock. And it takes us an hour to get our rental car, which is unheard of sometimes, an hour. And God bless that man that works at Avis at the Little Rock Airport. That man was working two computers at once. Avis, if you're listening, he deserves a raise. That gentleman that was working that day when we came in on Friday. So basically, it takes us an hour to get the rental car. Now we're very late. Now we're supposed to meet Dr. Duane and Miss Cameron for dinner, who have the Edge Church in Cabot, Arkansas. So we can't go to the grocery store because we like to stop at the grocery store first because we stay at Airbnbs. So now we can't go. So we go to dinner, and it's after 9 o'clock, and now The only thing open is Walmart, right? At this time in this area of Arkansas. Grocery stores are closed. So now we're headed to Walmart at 9 p.m. Yo, let me tell you something. Walmart is a real interesting place after 9 p.m. You could have a deliverance service after 9 p.m. in Walmart. No problem. So we walk into Walmart. We're all dressed nice for dinner. And this group of 20 kids walks by me and our team that had just gotten out of a homecoming game. Nice kids. They were just laughing and joking around. They were talking to us. They're going in. And I got this little twinge in my spirit. So we go in, get our groceries. We come up behind a woman that had this adorable little girl who was only about 2 years old, eating a Reese's peanut butter cup. And she was with her boyfriend or her husband. And she, you could tell they were having a rough time. And the Lord does this to me a lot in stores. He says to me, I want you to pay for their groceries. So I've learned not to question this and just go, okay, Lord, and just do it. So I explained to her who I am. I pay for their things. They were very grateful. And I think I'm done. No, I'm not done with what's about to happen. So we go to the near the exit. There's that group of 20 kids. And now one of them is on the floor having a seizure. Now, I have a lot of experience with this because of Chris, because Chris fights epilepsy. I go diving on the floor of Walmart in my nice dinner clothes. And now, because they're waiting for an ambulance, they don't know what to do. So I said, my husband has epilepsy. We have to turn him on his side because if he goes to vomit, he's going to aspirate. He's going to choke on himself. So we have to get him on his side and we have to restrain him so he doesn't hurt himself right now. So I rolled him on his side and I restrained him and I start praying. I start in the name of Jesus Christ, openly rebuking the seizure, commanding it to untie him and let him go. Chris lays hands. He starts praying on him. Well, suddenly the employees of Walmart gather around and they start praying with us over him. And we're having a prayer service at 9:30 p.m. in Walmart in Arkansas. And so the police officer couldn't leave. He had to sit there and listen to all of this because he had to wait for the ambulance to arrive. So he's in on it too. So I'm trying to find out what seizure medication he took. He took medication. I'm rattling off the seizure medications. They're kind of looking at me like they don't even know how I know this. And so I just kept praying over him. And the teenagers who were with him started crying. Some of them started crying because they were greatly affected by all of us coming and praying. Well, suddenly he snaps out of it. And he goes, what happened? And I said, you had a seizure. I'm going to hold you in this position on your side. The ambulance is on its way. And I'm going to stay with you till the ambulance arrives. So I asked him his name. He said his name was Ken. And I said, Ken, I'm going to stay with you. And once the ambulance comes and the paramedics get here, I'm going to get up and I'm going to let them take over. So I held him on his side and told him he had to stay down because if he would have gotten up and seized again, he would have cracked his head open. And so I just held him down there until the paramedics arrived. Paramedics finally come. I say, Ken, they're here. I'm going to let them take over now. And basically we switched spots and we left Walmart with our groceries. And that is what happened to us. And had I not been delayed at the airport, I would have went to the grocery store before dinner. I would have never been there after 9 p.m., positioned where the Lord needed me to intervene and rebuke the seizure and pray over this child so he would come out of the seizure by the time the paramedics arrived. So when the Lord delays you, don't get frustrated and don't get upset so easily because sometimes he's trying to slow you down because there are events that are about to come ahead of you and he needs you to be there. So delays are really setups. Delays are really because if we're led by the Spirit of the Lord, then he has to determine the timing of what we do. We shouldn't always be determining our own timing. So I wanted to tell you that story because praise God, we had a prayer meeting in Walmart at 9:30 p.m. And it was fabulous. And I'm glad that the young man is doing better. So praise the Lord for that. If you remember to pray for Ken, pray for him. We'll go from there. So, all right. Now let's get into the main event of this evening. This is going to get real. I'm telling you, this is going to get real interesting real fast when we start connecting all this, because this is really prophetic revelation that's attached to a word. So I'm going to start off with this. 6 days ago, Glenn Beck, I wish Glenn Beck would come on Ark of Grace because that man likes to play prophetic connect the dots too. And I think we would have a good time together. Maybe even praying together too, but playing the connect the dots that he likes to play. So 6 days ago, Glenn Beck put out a video and it said the real reason Trump keeps blowing up Venezuelan boats. I want you to watch this video, and then I'm gonna pinpoint you to what he said that really got me, that then the Lord began to, from there, show me what I'm about to tell you. So let's play this video now. It's only a few seconds.
All of the stuff that runs all the way through our hemisphere, not Beijing. So he's not trying to make America the world's policeman anymore. He's not doing that. He's making us the secure citadel. He is forcing every region.
Okay. Now, citadel. That's not a word you hear often. He's trying to make us a secure citadel. And my head kind of cocked like a German shepherd when I heard that, because I'm like, I know where I've heard that in the Word of God. So then I see this morning, we're going to put up the Fox News article, because there's a pattern now of wording coming into the media, and there's a reason for this. So we're going to put this Fox News article up for you, and I'm going to read it to you. And we're going to go from there. Wait till you see where we end up with this. Okay. How the left's embrace of Mamdani could doom Democrats nationwide. Democratic Party leaders are not leading. They are caving over socialist Mamdani. Why? Because they are terrified of the progressive wing of their party. Hakeem Jeffries has made it official. Zohran Mamdani, anti-Semitic socialist, is now the face of the Democratic Party. Democrats are in trouble. Having your party hijacked by far-left fanatics is okay in New York and a couple of other progressive hotbed states like California or Washington, but for most of the country, the idea that a 34-year-old jihadi-friendly Muslim with zero work experience could become the mayor of New York City, the citadel of capitalism. So here's the word again. The citadel of capitalism is horrifying. That the House Minority Leader Jeffries, one of the Democrats' top officials, endorsed the absurd Mamdani will haunt the party. Now, within 6 days, this word citadel keeps coming up. It keeps coming up all of a sudden in the media. It's prophetic. And I'm going to show you how. This one word, you're going to see where the Lord sent me after hearing this one word. So we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to get to scripture in a minute here. But suddenly with the rise of Mamdani, who operates in the same spirit as Haman, you are seeing appear over and over while the word citadel is appearing. So as you're watching this advance with Mamdani, you're starting to see this word citadel appearing in the media. It's not a common word. It's not a word they really use, but it's all of a sudden started to appear. And it's because of what's happening in the spirit that's shifting into the natural. The enemy thought he was real crafty with this one because he hides his agenda. In many ways, he hides his agenda within names. Keep the word citadel in the back of your mind, because I'm going to show you how this all ties together. Within Zohran, and I saw this morning from the Lord, within Zohran Mamdani's name is the word Haman. Within his name, I'm going to show you, is the word Haman. H-A-M-A-N. Hidden within the man's name is Haman, first of all. So the enemy literally chose a man that has Haman in his name and has hidden in there because of an agenda. Because of an agenda. Now, we're going to go pretty deep with this. And we're going to connect all of this. But he's got Haman in his name. And I'm going to show you this alliance the enemy has brokered in this time. You have Governor Kathleen Hochul of New York has made an alliance and endorsed Zohran Mamdani. So Haman is in Zohran Mamdani's name. Well, I'm going to show you something. If you take Kathy Hochul's first name, and Mamdani, his last name, and you put them together, it actually spells Amalek. So you have Haman that is within Zoran Mamdani's name. And then when the alliance happens, the political alliance between Hashul and Mamdani, their names together spell Amalek. So what's really being hidden within this race that is a cross-section of what's rising in the nation is this Haman Amalek that is literally hidden in the names of the candidates when it comes to this race in New York City. And now this alliance that Kathleen Hochul and Zoran Mamdani have made within that alliance, it spells Amalek, which is the line that Haman came from when King Saul was disobedient. He was told by the Lord to destroy all of Amalek. He leaves King Agag alive. And he assaults a Jewish maidservant and the line of Amalek, and Haman came from that. So Haman came from the disobedience, basically, of Saul. That's the spirit that's causing the leadership of New York to merge with its disciple. So you've got Haman and you've got Amalek. Now, it's that spirit, but it goes deeper than this, and we're going to get into that. But I will tell you, the Jews in New York City better wake up. They better wake up, and they better wake up real fast, because you're marching yourselves to a decree of destruction, and then you're going to cry out to Hashem to deliver you after you wanted to be stiff-necked and hard-headed and do this again. And then you're going to want Hashem, Almighty God, to come in and deliver you once again from your stupidity. I don't know how else to say it at this point with what's happening, because this is the cross-section of what's attempting to ascend in the nation. New York City is marching toward destruction. This is why the word citadel, remember I told you, remember the word citadel. This is why the word citadel keeps coming up in the news in this time, while you have the candidate, Zoran Mamdani, who within his name is Haman, and Kathy Hochul and Mamdani's alliance spells Amalek. This is why you have citadel coming up, because that's the language that's used in the book of Esther. So good thing Esther's sleeping right there, because we're going to be talking quite a bit about this tonight. This is why Purim 2025 and Purim 2026 are marked by blood moons. Purim being the book of Esther, being the decree of destruction that at the midnight hour sees a divine reversal. Blood, destruction, decree, and divine reversal. So this first year is flanked by two blood moons on Purim. Zoran Mamdani, who literally has Haman in his name, is rising in between the two Purims that are marked by blood moons. Kathleen Hochul, is making an alliance with Zoran Mamdani, literally in between the two Purims that are marked by blood moons. Hello? Are we seeing this? Do we understand that this is a cross-section of what's gunning for Washington, D.C.? And prophetically, I'm saying the word gunning for a reason. Do we see that this is what is gunning now for not only Washington, D.C., but for Jesus Christ in the nation? Okay, this is the cross-section of it, which means a Mordecai is coming to disrupt the plans. Mordecai positioned Esther. So if there's a Haman and that spirit rising, then you have a Mordecai that is rising in the nation. So that's the clash, right? Haman and Mordecai in the book of Esther, that's the clash. And then Esther is positioned by Mordecai, and Esther goes in to be the queen, and things shift from there. So let's look at the book of Esther for a minute so you understand why I'm connecting all of this. So the book of Esther has the number 10 all over it. So it has 127 provinces named. 1 plus 2 plus 7 is 10. Haman had 10 sons. The book of Esther has 10 chapters. The first half of the book of Esther is the first part of John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The second part of the book of Esther is the divine reversal that goes forth and the Lord giving his people life and life more abundant. So John 10:10 attaches to what I'm about to tell you, to the not only the book of Esther, but to the cross section and temperature of where we're in the nation with this rising, because Charlie Kirk was killed 10 months after the 2024 election and exactly 10 months before the 250th anniversary of America. 10-10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That is the enemy's agenda. That was Haman's agenda. That was the agenda set the first part of the book of Esther. So as you saw these events happening in September, you saw a candidate on the rise who literally has the word Haman that has been coded purposefully into his name. Now, Esther chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Remember, I kept telling you, remember Citadel, because now we're going to get into the Citadel part. It was the days of Ahasuerus, who reigned from India to Ethiopia over 127 provinces. In those days, when King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne, which was at the Citadel in Susa. The Citadel. Okay, so the word citadel is synonymous with the book of Esther. And suddenly, we're watching that word come into the media at the same time the man who's got Haman in his name is arising. Okay, which was in the Citadel in Susa. In the third year of his reign, he held a banquet for all his officials and his attendants, the army officers of Persia and Media. Now, I want you to think about this. You've got Citadel and you've got the word Media within these first four chapters. What's happening right now? You've got the media saying the word Citadel. You've got the media now suddenly using the word citadel. In Esther 1, 1 through 5, you have both words present, citadel and media, okay? The army officers of Persia and Media, spelled M-E-D-I-A, the nobles and the officials of the provinces were there in his presence. And he displayed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the splendor of his great majesty for many days, 180 days in all, which is about 6 months. When these days were completed, the king held a banquet for all the people who were present at the citadel in Susa, from the greatest to the least, a seven-day feast in the courtyard of the garden of the king's palace. So Media and Citadel are all over the first four verses of the first chapter of the book of Esther. And now we're watching the media use the word citadel over and over, while we've got Zoram Mamdani, who has Haman coded into his name, on the rise. Now, Esther chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. After these things, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite. So if you ever wonder how Lady Gaga got her name, how the enemy works, Agag was the king of the Amalekites. Backwards, his name is Gaga. So if you don't think the enemy takes these things and reverse engineers them and then puts them into his empires, he most absolutely does. Okay. Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and established his authority over all the officials who were with him. All the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and honored and paid homage to Haman, for this is what the king had commanded in regard to him. But Mordecai, a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, that's going to come into play in a little while, neither bowed down nor paid homage to him. Then the king's servants who were at the king's gate said to Mordecai, "Why are you disregarding the king's command?" Now it happened when they had spoken to him day after day, he would not listen to them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's reason for his behavior would stand as valid, for he had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai neither bowed down nor paid homage to him, he was furious. We're watching similar happen. When Zoram Mamdani isn't seeing the people of God bowing down to him and paying homage, he's going to be furious. because this is what happened with Haman, and the man has Haman coded in his name. But he disdained laying hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him who the people of Mordecai were. So Haman determined to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordecai, who lived through the kingdom of Ahasuerus. Mordecai didn't want to bow to Haman because Mordecai realized Haman was doing this because Haman wanted the people to view him as king so he could stage a coup himself. You see, Haman was a no kings guy too, you know. This no kings protest, we think this is a recent thing. Nope, Haman was a no kings guy too because he didn't want Ahasuerus to be king. He wanted to stage a coup ultimately and make himself king and put himself in as leader. So he was a no kings guy too. Now, Mordecai is from the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin attaches two Sauls and a Mordecai in scripture. You've got King Saul, who is the tribe of Benjamin, Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, who's from the tribe of Benjamin, and you've got Mordecai, who is from the tribe of Benjamin. Now, I find that interesting because, to me, Ben Shapiro in the New Testament is a Saul, he's a Pharisee, that is going to become a Paul. In the Old Testament, he's a Mordecai. He's a Mordecai staring at the Hamans now, saying, I won't bow. That's why I keep telling you, pray for Ben Shapiro, because the Lord is working on that man's heart, and he is going to be raised up to be a contender of the gospel. I'm telling you, this is coming. So, interesting side note there. So, when Mordecai's and Esther's are raising up the ranks, the enemy simultaneously will promote Haman's in order to bring forth destruction before deliverers are in place. So what the enemy wants to do is actually cause the destruction to happen before the deliverers are actually installed in their place by God. This is why the word of God says the enemy seeks to change the times and seasons. This is why he attempts to operate in timelines. This is why he casts timelines and then attempts to fill them. He's casted a timeline here in New York City that is a cross-section of what has its eyes on Washington, D.C. You see, this is what we're watching happen here. You're watching this now because of 2028. You are watching all of this be raced to be put in place now because of 2028. Haman was promoted to destroy Mordecai and his people so they would not become advisors to the king and shape national matters. God was moving them and navigating them to shape national matters, seeing what was happening with the line of the Amalekites, and the enemy attempted to promote Haman to second in command to the prime minister position in order to try to destroy who God had anointed before they could be put in position to actually take their seat and influence national matters. This is why you see this happening now, because of 2028. Okay, now we're going to go back a chapter for a minute to Esther 2. Esther 2:5. We're in the year 2025, right? Esther 2:5. There was a certain Jew in the citadel. There it is again. We're in the year 2025. The media is starting to say the word citadel. This is Esther 2, verse 5. There was a certain Jew in the citadel of Susa, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Okay. That's interesting in itself. At the end of Esther 2 is what I'm going to warn about again, because the Lord had me warning about this before he showed me all of this. But at the end of Esther 2, this is what it says. Now, remember, it's Esther 2, and we just read Esther 2, 5, the year 2025. But at the end of Esther 2, it says, in those days, while Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthan and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who guarded the door, became angry and conspired to attack King Ahasuerus. But the plot became known to Mordecai, who informed Queen Esther, and Esther told the king in Mordecai's name. Now, when the plot was investigated and found to be true, both men were hanged on the gallows, which is ultimately where Haman ended up. So this was a foreshadowing as well of where Haman was going to end up for the same plotting. And it was recorded in the book of the Chronicles in the king's presence. So by the end of Esther 2, there's a plot that's found out. Two of the king's own guards conspired to kill him. January 28th, 2025. Now, the day of the prophecy is as important as the prophecy. It was January 28th. The next presidential election is 2028. Watch the back door of the White House, says the Lord. Watch the back door of the White House. Esther 2, says the Lord. Esther 2. What's in Esther 2? Well, the language in 2:5, you start seeing that word citadel pop up again. And then by the end, the king's own guards are trying to kill him. Okay? And it the word continues. So it says Esther 2, says the Lord. Esther 2. Two guards conspire, says the Lord. They do it, shall be unearthed and cause quite a shaking, says the Lord. March 12th, 2025, the eve before Purim. There shall be a shaking in the middle of your nation and points on the map, says the Lord, that shall be strategic and confirm what is to come, says the Lord. For a plot is about to be unearthed, says the Lord. A plot is about to be unearthed. Esther 2, says the Lord. Esther 2, it shall be exposed, says the Lord. So the Lord starts pointing at the book of Esther before Mamdani, we even see the arising that we see now. So way before, the Lord starts saying, Esther 2, he starts directing us to the book of Esther. He starts directing us to chapter 2, which does have the word citadel in it, but also has the plot by the king's own guards to take him down. So this means this Esther 2 moment of the guards conspiring to destroy the king is coming upon us. And we need to intercede and pray. I'm going to tell you, Charlie Kirk's death was a foreshadowing of this. There will be things that come out about Charlie Kirk's death that are going to be shocking. Charlie Kirk's death was a foreshadowing of Esther 2. That's what it was. And now, because we're watching the rise of a candidate that has Haman coded in his name in New York City, we have to watch this Esther 2 moment when it comes to the presidency. And this is why we have to intercede and pray. Because this word citadel keeps coming to the forefront as Mamdani, and you see other Hamans arising. You see Omar Fattah in Minneapolis as well. You're seeing them arise in this. And it says the new Mamdani. Well, there's another Haman for you, because Zohran Mamdani within his name is Haman. So the new Mamdani, then, the new Haman. This is another Haman. This is a spirit that is raising up now multiple Hamans. It's multiplying the Hamans within the nation, because when we look at Esther, the one Haman couldn't get it done. He was overthrown. So now what the enemy is doing is he's multiplying it within the nation. And he started it at least 2 years ago when he started the outcry of Amalek, is when he started paving the way to bring this forth. And I'm going to show you something that's pretty jarring. I'm going to show you this map from CARE, which is the Muslim Brotherhood organization. Okay. Nationwide count of American Muslim elected officials by state. I want you to take a good hard look at this map of everybody influencing policy right now. 195 elected Muslim officials are currently serving in positions in this nation. Mamdani hasn't been elected yet. Okay. So if he gets elected in New York, that ticker is going to go to 8. And 2028 is the next election. So the enemy is aligning those numbers, but I want you to take a good look at this map and what it is representing. This is from CARE. They're keeping track of their own people. So, you know, these numbers are probably more than accurate when it comes to at least this. But Michigan is 39 elected Muslim officials in that state. They elect a 40th, and that entire state will go under judgment, beginning with the highest positions of leadership all the way down to the mayors. They elect a 40th. That entire state is going under judgment, and their officials. And your Dearborn is going to suffer a breach, and a very public one on top of that. And I'm going to show you something else about the name. I'm going to write this out for you because I want you to see it. So I'm going to show you something about the name CARE. I'm going to show you something because visuals are good. Visuals are good to use. So care has AI in the middle of it. So the name care actually has the name AI in the middle. This is why you see these two agendas advancing together, because the enemy is trying to advance them together in order to merge them for the plans that are coming in the latter book of Revelation. The enemy is designing them to advance together. That's not an accident that you see that in the middle of the word care, which happens to see be an organization connected to the Muslim Brotherhood that is nationwide here. Now, so you have this. You have this all rising in the midst of the Trump presidency. Now, what you see happening in the Northeast, because this is where this is transpiring, right? In New York City, there's something about the East that is prophetic. In fact, Gracie Mansion is the official residence of the mayor of New York City, and it's located at East End Avenue. So you have this going on in the Northeast. The mayor's mansion is even on East End Avenue, right? So the word East, and while we see the mayor's race in the Northeast and in New York City, and what is rising with Mamdani, who literally has Haman within his name, and the city is on the brink of falling, of all times, President Trump, during this time, while this is going on, has said we're demolitioning the East Wing, the East Wing of the White House, to build a ballroom instead. That is a prophetic act he's doing, and he doesn't even realize it, on two fronts. This is a prophetic act he's doing in the midst of what is happening in New York City that's going to affect the entire East Coast. He's doing a prophetic act here. This is what is coming to the Northeast, especially New York City and Massachusetts. So the demolition of the East. Think about this. He's demolitioning. He wants to demolition the East Wing of the White House. The demolitioning of the East is what we're watching come upon the Northeast and New York City and Massachusetts even. The old will be torn down. Their ancient rooted system of corruption will be torn down and bulldozed, not without the enemy attempting to take the territory first. It'll be bulldozed. The word bull is in that. Watch Wall Street very closely and their reaction and moves to fortify New York City. Watch the unusual response of Wall Street in the midst of this. The old corrupted root system. This is a physical manifestation of the great excavation. So what we're seeing happen to the East Wing of the White House is actually a physical manifestation of the great excavation. It's actually prophecy fulfilling. And we put out a short about this today, but August 29th, 2022, in a word from the Lord, it says, as even a piece shall fall from the building of the White House as a sign of what is to come. This shall not be a little piece, says the Lord of hosts, and shall occur in a very unusual way, as I, the Lord thy God, am set to do a great work in your nation. So August 29, 2022, the Lord said there's a piece that's going to fall from the White House, and it's not going to be a little piece. And the East Wing is not a little piece. And it shall occur in an unusual way. It's occurring to not only build a ballroom, but it's occurring while the Northeast has someone arising who has Haman within their name, while the media now is starting to use the word citadel more, which happens to mean capital. You're seeing all of this converge. You're seeing at a very prophetic time, all of a sudden we want to take down the East Wing of the White House with what is transpiring. July 18th, 2025. Remember, I told you there were two prophetic parts to what he's doing right now. That was number one, which connects to the Northeast. Number two, July 18th, 2025, And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, Nebuchadnezzar, says the Lord, that temptation lurks around Washington, D.C. to erect such an idol and a name. That temptation has circled the White House, and says the Lord, that temptation must be put down in this time, for pride attempts in advance, says the Lord. For a month filled with pride, there were altars erected, altars that have been active, says the Lord, altars where the names of leadership and high-ranking members have been placed upon such an altar in order to afflict and bring destruction, says the Lord. The physical body is feeling the effects of such warfare, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, surrender and walk circumspectly before me, capital, the Lord your God, O leadership of this nation. This shall be what dismantles such an altar, for there is a coup being arranged, there is a coup being set within the administration, says the Lord. This coup does not just have a target of the president, who is called Trump, says the Lord, but it has targeted the Department of Defense and the Department of Justice, for together they are tasked with defending justice. Okay. Now, this ballroom that is going to go in place of the East Wing of the White House is 90,000 square feet. 90. Nebuchadnezzar, during his term as king, erected something, a statue that was 90 feet tall. Daniel 3, 1 through 2 says it. Nebuchadnezzar the king made a gold-plated image whose height was 60 cubits, which is 90 feet, and its width 6 cubits, 9 feet. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble. He sent word to assemble at his 90-foot creation. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and lawyers, and all the chief officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. This ballroom is 90,000 feet. All right, so 90 is in there. This ballroom cannot turn into an idol. There is a temptation lurking to go the way of Nebuchadnezzar. Don't do it. Build your ballroom. Don't turn it into an idol. Have it be just that. Nebuchadnezzar was removed from his seat as king for 7 years until he learned his lesson after this. So he was removed early for building that. Let that be the warning that that temptation is present with it, because just let it be a ballroom and a sign of new beginnings and a prophetic sign of what's coming to the Northeast, a prophetic sign of what's happening in New York City. They're both on the East Coast. Washington, D.C. and New York City are on the East Coast, and New York City and New York are the carotid artery to Washington, D.C. This is meant to prophetically signify the excavation, the tearing down of the old, of the corrupt. Only God knows what they did in the East Wing. Over the decades of presidencies, there could have been things done in there that we don't know that are now in this time getting torn down, but it can't be rebuilt as Nebuchadnezzar was tempted to do. That's what I'm saying. So there's a temptation here with this, and that cannot be crossed over in this time, because the fact this is happening while what's happening in the Northeast is happening is prophetic. It's happening within the same time. It's happening within the same season. And July 24th, 2025, word of the Lord says, I, the Lord, have ordained a season of excavation, says the Lord. The great excavation in your nation, O America, that's capital, has gone forth. The great unearthing has begun in order to expose what has been buried for decades, says the Lord. I am going back and reaching back decades, says the Lord. I have fooled the corrupt, allowing them to think they have buried such deep enough. However, says the Lord, I am coming forth in this time and causing the soil to be tilled, which is what's happening. The roots to be broken, the resource systems to be disrupted. I, the Lord, am allowing a breach of their walls. That's a capital. Their firewalls, their vaults, their filings. Well, the East Wing's wall has been breached with the demolition. Their programs and their bugs that have caught these activities, that have caused these activities to be veiled from the people of your nation. That is why you're seeing this of all times happen now. So keep that in mind, that this is happening at the same time of what's happening in New York for a reason. Okay. It's a cross section, and it is a prophetic indication of what's coming to New York City. Now, we're going to go back to the book of Esther for a moment. We're going to go back to Esther. Esther chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. So the Jews undertook what they had started to do and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had cast pur, that is the lot, to find out the right time to disturb and destroy them. Verse 25. But when it came before the king, he commanded in writing that Haman's wicked scheme, which he had devised against the Jews, was to return on his own head, and that he and his sons should endure what he planned for the Jews and be hanged on the gallows. Verse 26, therefore they called these days Purim after the name Pur, which means lot, and because of all the instructions in this letter on what they had faced in this regard and what had happened to them. Now, Esther 9:25. We're in the year 2025. And verse 25 says, when it came before the king, he commanded in writing that Haman's wicked scheme, which he had devised against the Jews, was to return on his own head. Okay. And verse 26 is when they named it Purim because of what happened and the destruction they had faced in regard. And there was a reversal. Verse 26 of Esther is when Purim is named its name. Purim 2026, this is in verse 26, Purim 2026 is marked by a blood moon. That's not a coincidence. Esther 9:27, verse 27, the Jews established and made it a custom for themselves and for their descendants and for all who joined them so that they would not fail to celebrate these 2 days as it was written and at the appointed time annually. That's Esther 9:27. 2027 happens to be a Jewish leap year, which means you have Adar 1 and Adar 2, which means you have double Purims. You have Purim Katan, little Purim, and you have Purim. So Esther 9:27 coincides with the year 2027, where there's actually going to be double Purims, which means potentially double decrees of destruction, which will activate double divine reversals if the people heed the instructions of the Lord the way Esther and Mordecai did and do what the Lord is asking them to do. Let's go back to Esther 9:25. I'm going to read it again. But when it came before the king, he commanded in writing that Haman's wicked scheme, which he had devised against the Jews, was to return on his own head and that he and his son should endure what he planned for the Jews and be hanged on the gallows. That is the scripture for 2025, for the governments and governors and mayors of the United States, England, Ukraine, Russia, North Korea. That is the scripture. Now, as this is happening, as everything that we've talked about tonight is happening, a government shutdown has continued. That's not an accident either, that we're watching all of this happen simultaneously. As Haman is attempting to arise, the government is shut down. Now, I'm going to show you the correlation here. There is a word I gave back in February of 2024 that pinpointed the time of the shifting and pruning of the branches of government and what we saw happen on October 1st. I'm going to read to you the word first, and then I'm going to explain. February 20th, 2024. And a very public resignation shall bring forth a dark horse, says the Lord. Watch, says the Lord, for the bait and switch to run ahead. And no matter who is brought forth, no matter who they attempt to place in that seat, it is mine to give, says the Lord. The kingdom of darkness may anoint. However, it does not hold up to my rulings and judgments. For I, the Lord, raise kings up and I bring them low. And I, the Lord, can do such in a single day. For I, the Lord, am not bound by time or space. And as they attempt to shuffle such a deck of fools and global thinkers, I, the Lord, shall throw a wrench and a hammer into their plans. There shall be a collapse of a platform from another gust of wind, says the Lord, for it is capitals, my holy wind, that shall gust through the nation, and change and repentance follows such a wind. That holy wind shall encompass areas of your nation and Canada and South America. It shall encompass the high holy days, for there shall be signs to the day that occur that signal a major changing of the guard and shifting of the branches of government, and they are set to be pruned, says the Lord, in America and in Israel, says the Lord. For the wind of Ruach Elohim is blowing in the government of Israel. It shall shake the branches, and the leaves shall fall off for what some did to their own people. Their own people, says the Lord. And it was allowed by stubborn oxen and those who desired to advance on resources and oil. A serious event, an attempt near the Wailing Wall, for it must be pruned. The disease from the tree must be fully cut off in Israel and America and Canada and France and Ukraine and Russia, says the Lord. That's February 20th, 2024. I'm going to take you back to the one part here where in the word it says, it shall encompass the high holy days, for there shall be signs to the day, meaning to that day of the high holy days that occur, that signal a major changing of the guard and shifting of the branches of government, and they are set to be pruned, says the Lord, in America and in Israel. The government shut down on Yom Kippur. The Lord said there would be signs to the day around the high holy days. It shall encompass the high holy days, for there shall be signs to the day, meaning the day of the high holy day, there will be a sign that signals major chaining of the guard, shifting of branches of government, and the government being pruned. That's what the Lord said in this a year and a half ago. The government shut down on Yom Kippur to the day. Yom Kippur, 10-1-2025, the Day of Atonement, the Day of Repentance, the government shuts down. 10-1-2025 has 9-11 in the date. 10 plus 1 is 11, 2 plus 2 plus 5 is 9. It is the Day of Repentance. The day the government shuts down, you have Repent 9-1-1. This word was given February 20th, 2024, a year and a half before this even happens. This word was given while Biden was still in office. This word pinpointed when the pruning in our government would begin, praise God. And now look at what's happening. The government is forced to prune. The government is forced to prune. The same thing happened in the book of Esther. Similar, different circumstances. The government partially shuts down because the kingdom loses their queen. It affects everything, including King Ahasuerus and his thinking. During that time, Vashti gets deposed. You have a partial shutdown. The kingdom now only has a king. There's no queen. During that shutdown, what was happening, Esther and Mordecai are positioned as Haman is promoted with the end goal of Amalek taking over the kingship and controlling the kingdom. We are witnessing all of this flanked by two blood moons on Purim 2025 and Purim 2026. Could Almighty God be more clear about the enemy's agenda and what his servants and children need to do about it, and that our government as well needs to repent in the middle of this? Repent 911 is a warning as well for the mayoral candidates in New York City. It's not only a warning for our government and the heads of the departments, but it is a warning for the mayoral candidates in New York City. And if Andrew Cuomo will repent publicly before the Lord, if he will humble himself before the Lord, you will see a change in the race. If he doesn't, that's not happening. Do I really want to say this to Andrew Cuomo? Probably not in my flesh, but it doesn't matter what I want. It matters what the Lord wants me to say. If he will humble himself before the Lord publicly, you will see the wind shift in the race. He's got to do it publicly, though. But in the book of Esther, in the Citadel, you're dealing with a partial shutdown of the government because they don't have a queen any longer. And that is when Haman gets promoted. He's getting promoted while Esther and Mordecai are getting positioned because the enemy was trying to one up and get in the king's ear in order to destroy Esther and Mordecai before they could actually be raised up to destroy the enemy's plans. We are watching the same happen right now. The enemy is working multiple timelines at once when it comes to this nation and the government. He's just not going to put all his eggs in one basket on one reverse engineered timeline. No, he's going to work multiple of them in order to try to get ahead. So if one fails, he has the others active. This is what we see happening in the nation right now. This is why the government shut down on Yom Kippur and Almighty God allowed it. Because it's repent 911. And that's a warning to both sides in the midst of this. And it's no accident that President Trump is demolitioning the East Wing of the White House, while in the Northeast, we are watching a candidate, Zoram Mamdani, who has the name Haman in his name, while him and Governor Kathleen Hochul have made an alliance, and they have the name Amalek in their combined name. And Persia, where all this happened as well, was in the East. It was in the Middle East. So the East Wing being demolitioned is prophetic in many regards. It is meant to be a great excavation too. It is meant to tear down the old, but it is not meant for a Nebuchadnezzar moment of plating everything in gold and dedicating it to something it shouldn't be dedicated to and inviting the satraps and the governors and everybody to the party because it's a ballroom. President Trump cannot go that way with this. He cannot, in the middle of what is happening. That's exactly what the enemy would want him to do in order to advance the agenda right now in the Northeast and in other states that ultimately is eyeing 2028. Haman is being positioned for 2028. That's why you're watching this happen between two blood moons that both happening on Purim 2025 and 2026. Look at all of this happening, being flanked by two blood moons. God is marking the Purims. He's marking them, which also is a warning for us for the years ahead, being in 2027, that Jewish leap year, and those double Purims are coming. So we have to understand that we as the people of God are meant to recognize these things. We are meant to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh has to say. We're meant to be like the sons of Issachar, discerning the times and seasons and recognizing them, because when we recognize them, we can actually pray, intervene, disrupt timelines, tear down strongholds, disrupt the plans of the enemy, thwart the works of darkness and iniquity, and bring down the plans of darkness that want to advance on the nation. We are meant as the church to recognize these things and then to, with precision, intercede and pray. We're meant to do these things. And we have to in this time. If the church does what it did in 2016, we're going to have a double portion of 2020 and 2028. We cannot do that. We cannot rest on our laurels. We cannot underestimate the enemy. We have to be sober-minded and vigilant. We have to be aware of what's happening. We have to be aware of the enemy's weapons, strategies, devices, disciples, words, blueprints. We have to be made aware. We have to ask the Lord to make us aware of these things, to show us what's in the underbelly of the beast, to show us from his view what's really going on, to show us what the enemy is hiding within the name, because the enemy hides a lot within a name. We need to have that heightened level of wisdom and discernment in the middle of this. The church is not meant to be business as usual, superficial, lukewarm nonsense having to do with, should we be seeker friendly? Oh, we can't talk about this. Oh, we can't talk about what's happening with other religions trying to take over America. Oh no, we can't talk about transgenderism. We can't talk about homosexuality. We can't talk about sin. We can't talk about abortion. We have to be seeker friendly. We have to do this. To hell with all of it, because that's where it belongs. That's where that all belongs. Those are the agendas of hell. Trying to get in the church, make it weaker, make it lukewarm, stop it from advancing, and blind, deafen, and dumb it down. We cannot do that in this time. We don't have the option to do that, nor should we. When it came down to it, Mordecai looked right at Esther and said, if you don't do this, don't think you will escape the destruction. Don't think you're going to escape the destruction that's coming. Help will arise from elsewhere. The Lord will raise up a deliverer from elsewhere. But who knows that you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. If you do nothing, you will not escape this. Church, you will not escape unscathed if you do nothing in this. If you want to be the same lukewarm business as usual, you, especially the churches within New York City, you will not escape this. And if you do nothing, help will arise from elsewhere. God will raise up deliverers from elsewhere, and he will take the pulpits from you, and he will give them to a neighbor that are willing to do what he needs done in this time. That's where we are. That's where we're at. The Lord is separating the sheep from the goats right now. And the goats are noisy. And they're entertaining. And they like to headbutt. And they want to boss around the sheep. That's being separated in this time. We have to understand where we are at. And we need shepherds in the pulpit and not suits. And not showmen. And not slackers. And not serpents. But shepherds. That is what is needed. To call a predator for what it is. To call evil for what it is. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is still evil. His first name, Dietrich, if you separate his name into two words, it's diet rich. What is your diet rich in for your soul? What is your diet rich in for your soul? Because that is going to determine how awake and spiritually attuned or how blind and ignorant you are in this time. The Jews cannot yell about Auschwitz and what happened in Germany if they're willing to do an about face in New York City. You can't yell about the horrors of that if you're willing to till the soil and help plant the seeds for wickedness to arise again. I'm tired of this nation wandering in circles. And yes, President Trump is doing a lot. And yes, the man's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. And he's in the middle of a shutdown. And now Israel's mad. And they say Hamas broke the ceasefire. And now they're going to bomb because Hamas broke the ceasefire. And the United States military isn't necessarily in a position to stop it. But in that condition is when the enemy comes in with tempting offers that are really attached to chains of hell. So you need to pray for him, and you need to pray for his sons, because the enemy is going to try to hunt down his sons. He's going to try to hunt down his sons. And spiritually speaking, I would really intervene for Don Jr. because he doesn't even understand the peril spiritually that he's put himself in, that the enemy has him in his scope. So you need to intercede and pray, because that needs to be broken, that plan, in the name of Jesus Christ, and him spared. him spared for the greater purpose in Jesus' name. Because Haman wanted to destroy the heirs. Haman was after the heirs. It was about destroying any heir that could be raised up and have any influence in the kingdom. That's what we see happening in this time. In that word I gave, the Hamans have gone out to hunt. It was about destroying the heirs. It's about taking the heirs down and issuing the decrees of destruction before the heirs are positioned into their purpose. That's why we're seeing this happen in this time in between the two Purims that are marked by blood moons, marching into the 2026 midterms, Rosh Hashanah 9/11. Rosh Hashanah happening on 9/11, 9/11, the day the towers fell, 2026, 2 months before the midterm, which then thrusts us into double Purims in 2027, a Jewish leap year. This is not an accident. These are warnings. These are prophetic. And we need to wake up and become attuned to them. We're seeing destruction and reversals go forth all over. Look at what's happening with this Category 5 hurricane. I have been interceding and praying to the Lord. But there are things in Jamaica. Pray for the innocent. Pray for the innocent, the children, the animals, the families, because there are things in Jamaica that have to be uprooted. There is ancestral worship in Jamaica that has to be uprooted. There is hedonism that has to be uprooted. So intercede and pray. If you want, we'll pray right now briefly before we end for them, because this is a very serious situation. We're watching a Category 5. Remember I told you how grace is the present of judgment? So when grace is present, it means judgment is imminent. Well, this has become a Category 5, and 5 biblically has to do with grace. And with storms, when a storm is coming, and Pastor Rick and I spoke about this, when a storm is coming and you see the storm clouds and you hear the thunder is the grace that is warning you that to take cover because the storm and the lightning are about to hit. So the thunder is the grace and the warning that you have a moment there to take cover before the storm and the lightning hit. It's the same thing with grace. Grace is the thunder. Grace, the evidence of grace, is the thunder and the warning to take cover under the Father because judgment is imminent. And so this is what we're seeing happen, and this is why this is rising up in the time it's rising up, for this very reason. This is actually rising up 27 days after Yom Kippur. Do you know what Matthew 7:27 says? This is coming to me real time in my spirit. This storm is rising up 27 days after Yom Kippur. Matthew 7:27 says, and the rains fell and the floods came and the wind blew and slammed against that house, and great and complete was its fall. So we're going to intervene and pray for the mercy of God in this right now for these people, because this storm has only strengthened. It has not weakened. So we're going to come together and pray before we end tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you this day. Father, we come before you in agreement, Father God. Your word says, Father God, that if we come before you in agreement and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, what we ask for shall be given to us. What we ask for in faith shall be given to us. In Luke chapter 8, Christ himself stood up in the boat and he spoke to the storm that the enemy sent to try to keep them from getting to Gadaran, to deliver the man that was living in the tombs who evangelized the entire city after that. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, right now through the power and authority we have been given from on high, we speak to that storm in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak to Hurricane Melissa right now, and we command that eye wall to weaken in the name of Jesus Christ. We command the winds to shift. We command the waters to cool down. We command in the name of Jesus Christ there to be a breaking down of the pressure and the conditions that have created the circumstances for a Category 5. life to take place. We speak to it now in the name of Jesus Christ, and we command that eye wall to collapse in the name of Jesus Christ. We command that storm to weaken in the name of Jesus Christ. We command the winds to weaken in the name of Jesus Christ. We command its quadrants to break down in the name of Jesus Christ. We command the currents and the winds to shift in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, we ask, Father God, that a hedge of protection be put around the innocent right now, Father God, be placed around innocent people, children, and animals, Father God, in the middle of this. Help them to supernaturally take cover, Father God. Put a supernatural covering over them, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. And Father, what has to be torn up out of Jamaica, the ancient ancestral worship, and the hedonism, Father God, let it be torn up, but let the innocent be spared, Father. Lord, we just ask for your mercy in this. You are a God of mercy. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your grace, Father God. We ask that you give the people wisdom, Father God, to take cover, to go to higher ground, Father God. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, divisions right now to fill Jamaica and to rescue these innocent people, Father God, that are in the midst of it, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, we just praise you and we activate our faith in agreement, Father God. For you say, if one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, Father God, there's tens of thousands of us, Father God, right now praying together in agreement, Father God. With precision, Father, at this storm, Father, that Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, let not the enemy's purposes be accomplished in this, but let your purposes be glorified in this. Let the enemy be outvoiced, outnumbered, Father God, and let him not get any glory from this. Let his purposes not be accomplished, Father God, but we ask your purposes be accomplished ultimately in this, Father God. Lord, we thank you for the miraculous in this, Father God. We thank you. There are miracles in this, Father God, that you are a miracle working God, that you are an ever present help in times of trouble, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are safe, Father. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you, Father God, and we give you all the glory in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to continue to watch. I'm sure you are as well, as this unfolds. Okay. Update on grace. So as we're closing out tonight, I'm going to give you a quick update on grace. Her incision is healing beautifully. I got an update from the medical barn today. The leakage that was coming out of the incision is drying up. They're doing a lot of wound care on her. She's looking great, they said. She's eating great. She is improving daily. So thank you for all of your prayers and everybody that has been blessing us to help with her expenses. God bless you. May he multiply it back to you truly. We are very humbled and grateful for that. If you want to know more about that, or if you need our address or other information when it comes to the ministry, you could go to arcofgrace.org/events. We have our website there. We have our Venmo there. So you can go there and you can see everything all in one place. November 10th, I'm going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Pastor Jackson Lawmeyer's church, who's part of the Office of Faith for the White House. I'm going to be part of the Revelation Conversation. So I will be one of the individuals being questioned by Clay Clark on the book of Revelation. So this is the Revelation Conversation, November 10th, starting at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. We're looking forward to seeing you there. Also, I preached in Arkansas this weekend at the Edge Church. You can go to the Edge Church YouTube. You can also go to Dwayne Miller, DwayneMiller.com, and click on Ways to Watch from the dropdown, and it'll take you to the YouTube, and both the sermons that I preach Saturday night and Sunday morning are there as well. And for the end, we're just going to put up Givaderm and MyPillow. So this is Givaderm. These are ladies that love the Lord. They make an amazing product. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Me and Chris both use it. Their soap is amazing as well. Chris loves their soap. I use it twice a day. It is incredible, incredible skincare. Makes an amazing gift as well. It is one of the best I have ever used, and I'm not just saying that. It's a phenomenal product. You can use promo code ARC10 every time you order for a 10% discount. You go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and click on the Givaderm link. And My Pillow. Mike Lindell has been going through it, let me tell you, so we can support him and be a blessing to him. You could go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ARC to save up to 66% and more off of all My Pillow products. You could also go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners. They have so much more than just pillows. They do have pillows, but they have mattress toppers. They have robes. They have incredible slippers. They have amazing washable dog beds that we have used at the sanctuary. In fact, Noble slept on a My Pillow dog bed when we had him here at the sanctuary. So this is a call to action too. Mike Lindell is fighting in the court system right now. Action item. You know, if you can go and support him, please do. He absolutely loves this nation and he loves Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And that's where we're going to end for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for watching. God bless you. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91, I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. We have other psalms there for you as well as Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. I speak those scriptures every single day, as well as the Lord's Prayer. I put on the full armor of God according to Ephesians 6 multiple times a day as well. And then we have as well Hebrews chapter 11, one of the greatest chapters on faith. We always want to encourage you in the word. Also James 4, 7, because we're in the 47th presidency right now. Therefore, submit to God, then resist the devil, then he shall flee from you. That is a strategy for us for the time we are in. So thank you, everyone. Thank you to our team. We will be back on live on Thursday. So until then, have a wonderful rest of your evening. Keep the faith, and we'll see you in a couple days. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together. And we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue, it helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural, and I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless.